Second Watch by Jejusor, read by CookieMom6067. The first time Bucky cuddles Clint to sleep is really more of a military operation than a tender embrace. Objective: Clint going the fuck to sleep after 3 hours of restlessness. Obstacles: his jiggling knee, his grinding teeth, the way he's staring out the bedroom window like he thinks someone is about to break in. Mission critical intel: one time he dozed off on the couch with his head on Bucky's chest. Strategy: position head on chest, immobilized jiggly knee with leg, direct field of vision away from window, rest fingers on jaw to discourage grinding. They've been hooking up now and then for a couple months, long enough that Bucky's confident Clint will squirm away if he doesn't like it. He's done that before, usually abruptly in the middle of a physical interaction he seemed to be enjoying up until that moment. Like a cat. Though Bucky knows better than to verbalize that observation to such a stalwart dog person. Clint doesn't squirm away. He melts against Bucky's body like ice cream on hot pie, and less than a minute later, his breathing has evened out. Bucky stays awake all night, keeping a close eye on that window, just in case. In the morning, Bucky's shirt is soaked with drool, Clint's still out cold in the epicenter of the mess. It's revolting. Somehow, Bucky doesn't mind. Around 10 a.m., according to the angle of the light coming in through the window, Clint stirs and mumbles, "Fuck. Please tell me this wet spot is from some amazing morning sex I don't remember and not what I think it is." Bucky kisses the top of his head. "I would tell you that, except I don't want you thinking I'm molesting you in your sleep." Clint rolls away from the damp fabric, wiping his mouth. "Gross. Sorry. You can borrow a clean shirt." Bucky strips off the wet one and tosses it over the side of the bed. "Or," he says, sliding his arm across Clint's torso, "I could leave it off." Clint blinks sleepily, all tousled bedhead and soft smile. Bucky rolls on top of him, elbows planted either side of his head, and Clint turns to plant a sweet little kiss on his metal arm before tilting up to invite his lips. They haven't done this before. The slow and gentle kind of sex. Clint likes being manhandled, and Bucky likes doing the handling, so that's how it's been up to now. Bucky is vaguely intending to turn it rough at some point, but it ends up not happening. They get off lazily with their hands on each other's dicks, Clint nuzzling the metal arm, and he keeps on nuzzling after they both come. Bucky looks down at him, drinking in his easy affection, and feels a little twinge in the vicinity of his heart. Maybe, he lets himself think for the first time, this might not be just a hookup situation after all. Clint plants one last kiss on his metal tricep and reaches over to grab a box of tissues from the nightstand. "How'd you sleep?" Bucky shrugs. "I don't need much sleep." Clint dabs a handful of tissues at Bucky's stomach, then wipes himself up. "Shirts are in the second drawer down if you want to steal one," he says as he hops out of bed. "Or leave it off. I'm good with that too." The drawer of shirts is almost entirely purple. Bucky pulls the only black one over his head and wanders out to the kitchen where Clint is engaged in a heated argument with his coffee machine. Bucky intervenes to snap the portafilter all the way into place, resolving the issue, and moves on to investigate the contents of the fridge. Bucky makes it all the way through breakfast and back to his own apartment before he passes a mirror and catches a glimpse of what he's wearing. He calls Clint, squinting at the screen-printed text below the image. "Barton," he says, "why the fuck do you own a t-shirt with Jesus nailed to the cross wearing sunglasses?" Says Clint, "no clue. East Cleveland Lutheran Summer Camp, 2004. Bucky reads backwards in the mirror. He turns around to check the back. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Of the party? You let me take the fucking subway in this?" You left before my second cup of coffee kicked in, Clint protests. Also, your arms were like bursting out of the sleeves. I had better places to look. Bucky flexes a little in the mirror and feels a thread snap. Whatever, this shirt doesn't deserve to live. Where did you get it? Do you actually wear this shit? I get dressed out of my clean laundry basket, man. That dresser holds ancient mysteries. I have no answers for you. How is Bucky so far gone on such a goddamn mess? He shakes his head, mostly at himself. Are we on for Thursday? Yeah, for sure, but we don't have to. Clint's voice goes uncertain. I mean, if you want, we could hang out earlier than that, but Thursday's fine. Bucky's eye is drawn from the reflection of the stupid shirt up to the smile spreading across his face. Can I come over again tonight? Yeah, Clint says, sounding relieved. Yeah, come on over whenever. It's fucking freezing, and Bucky doesn't know how to adjust the heat in Clint's apartment. He gets up for a glass of water in the middle of the night and stops by the closet to steal a hoodie on the way back to bed. He doesn't sleep at all the rest of the night, just curls around Clint, trying not to jump at noises from outside. In the morning, after Clint has showed him the weird alcove where the thermostat is hidden, Bucky glances down and discovers a shuttlecock on his chest. You play badminton? He asks. What? No. Where did that come from? Your closet, Bucky says. It was cold. I just grabbed whatever felt cozy. Clint raises his hands. Dude, if you got it off a hanger, it's been there longer than Steve's been defrosted. Does it say Olympics? You're asking me? Bucky shakes his head in affectionate annoyance. This guy. Bucky usually leaves right after breakfast, but today he doesn't have anywhere to be, and Clint doesn't seem particularly eager to kick him out. They lounge around the living room, Clint engrossed in an episode of Dog Cops and Bucky trying to Google badminton. He's reasonably certain that this hoodie is part of an extremely limited edition run made for the 1996 U.S. Olympic team. Where the fuck do you get your clothes? He asks. I don't know, dude. Clint says, I buy a lot of emergency hoodies when it gets cold while I'm out and don't have one with me. Maybe a thrift store or something. He tucks his toes comfortably under Bucky's ass. Bucky rests a hand on Clint's shin, glad for the casual contact. You're ridiculous, he says, and yawns. Clint glances over his gaze, assessing. How'd you sleep? Not good, Bucky admits. I don't do great with cold. You should have woken me up to turn up the heat. Clint nudges his big toe up, digging into Bucky's ass. Bucky shrugs. Didn't want to disturb you. I'm okay without much sleep. Super soldier thing. He's ready to leave as soon as Clint drops a hint, but he never does, and they end up spending the whole day together. It's nice, really nice. And Bucky catches himself imagining a whole life of this, sharing space during the day and a bed at night. Mentally, he rolls his eyes at himself. Should probably find out whether the guy even wants to date him before renting the U-Haul. They order takeout, and Bucky is putting away the leftovers and thinking about how to bring up the dating thing when Clint appears, holding a gray bundle that looks soft. Here, he says. I found you a cozy sweater with nothing weird on it. He displays the sweater front and back, all plain gray. Bucky pulls off the hoodie and tries it on. It's just as soft as it looks. Thanks, he says, smiling. And the way Clint is smiling back at him makes him think that conversation they need to have is going to go just fine. Come on, Clint says. Brush your teeth. We're going to bed early. Oh, yeah? Bucky asks, trying to sound suggestive, but ruins it by yawning again. Yeah, Clint says fondly. We can fuck in the morning. Right now you need sleep. Bucky can't really argue the point, given how weak his eyelids feel. He brushes his teeth and gets in bed, dropping his jeans but keeping the sweater on. It really is cozy. He wonders if Clint would notice if it went missing. Clint slides into bed next to him, and Bucky holds out his arm, offering cuddles. Clint shakes his head and wraps his own arm around Bucky's shoulders, pulling him down onto his chest. Nope, I'm topping tonight. Bucky doesn't necessarily object to that, but he's not sure he has the energy right now. Thought you said we weren't fucking until the morning. Cuddle topping, Clint says. He rubs Bucky's metal arm, squeezing him close. I'll keep an eye on the window tonight. You get some rest. Bucky feels like he should be surprised that Clint noticed, but he's not. Clint gets it. And that's part of why Bucky likes him so much. He settles his head on Clint's chest, arm around his waist, and drifts off. The light is all wrong when he wakes up. Bucky startles, looking around wildly. What the hell time is it? Pushing noon, Clint says. He's still exactly where he was when Bucky fell asleep, curled around him protectively. I guess you needed that. Bucky drops his head back down. Guess so. Shit, that's 14, 15 hours. He hasn't slept like that since, well, it's been a long time. Don't get me wrong, I'm loving the snuggles, but I really gotta fucking pee, Clint says, wriggling out from underneath Bucky. Something is itching against Bucky's side. He flips up the hem of the sweater and finds a stiff tag stitched to the side seam. Hey, cool if I take off this tag? He calls after Clint's retreating back. Yeah, sure, Clint calls, not bothering to look. Bucky yanks the tag out and examines it. Printed on it is the message. The keyword is indigo. Come unarmed. Machine wash cold. A minute later, Clint returns from the bathroom and crawls back into bed, pressing his cold toes against Bucky's calf. Bucky kisses him, soft at first, then deeper, when Clint eagerly responds. Hey, Bucky says, pulling back just enough to see Clint's face. You want to date me? Yeah, Clint says. Yeah, I really do. And he pulls Bucky back into another kiss. The end.